Today's message I entitled, Made for More Than Earthly Treasures. And I want to start off with a story. It's actually a story that John Ott shared with me when I was very young. My family went down to visit him in Roanoke, Virginia. And I remember sitting at his dining table or breakfast table, and he told me and my brothers this joke. And it went something like this from what I can remember. But there once was a man who lived his entire life to acquire as much wealth as possible. He had it in cash, savings, retirements, a bunch of different places, and he was nearing death. And everything he's lived for, he realized, I gotta be able to bring this with me to heaven. So he consolidated it all, he got it all into gold bars, and he put it in a big sack, and he's like, I gotta bring this with me, this is what I live for. So in the story, he dies, and he's at the pearly gates in heaven. St. Peter's there, saying hello and welcoming. And he noticed this man coming with a big sack on his back, and he doesn't know what's in it, but he's like, excuse me, sir, you can't bring anything into heaven with you. And he's like, you don't understand. This is some of my most precious materials. I live my life for what's in this bag. He's like, you got to leave the bag. And so they're having this conversation about how he can't come, and the man trying to explain how important it is. St. Peter's like, okay, let me just look what you got inside this bag. And so he opens up the bag and he sees all the gold brick. And he's like, you know what? You can come in. He's like, that's just paving material in heaven. And when I was younger and I heard this, I didn't get it at first, but essentially heaven's streets are paved with gold. So it's like what you spent your whole life trying to earn literally is what people walk on here. So once again, that's a story that's not Bible. That's just a fun story, a joke that John Ott shared with me. But I wanted to start off with that because oftentimes we can live our lives just for earthly treasure, the things we can grasp now, and we can lose sight of the things that God has for us that's greater and more in Him. So the passage I'll be looking at this morning, kind of as an overarching principle before we look at an Old Testament character, is from Luke 16, 10 to 15. In this story, Jesus actually was telling a parable or a God-pointed story. And right before this, in the beginning of chapter 16, it talked about a manager who was going to fire one of his employees. And before his employee got fired, he went to all the customers that owed his boss all this money. He started just reducing debt. And then the boss, when he's about to fire him, says, wow, you're really shrewd with this. And actually almost commends him for it if you read that. But that's a passage coming right before this. But the ones I want to look at right now are following that. And that's in verse 10. It says, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees who loved money heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. Jesus said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your heart. What people value highly is detestable, or in other translations, is an abomination in God's sight. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for your word. God, thank you that you're with us in all the different locations that we're watching and listening to this message or the recording. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us through your words today. God, may we be hearers and doers and apply what we're learning together. In Jesus' name, amen. So I wanted to mention just a couple, three little steps for embracing the more that God has for you, specifically looking at this passage, and we'll look at some Old Testament scriptures and New Testament as well. But it starts off, Jesus was talking in verse 10 about being faithful with the little things. You're faithful with the little, you can be trusted with more, but if you're not faithful with the little, you won't be trusted with more. And it made me think of an Old Testament character that maybe isn't as well known to all of us, but his name is Achan. And Achan, what he did was he ended up coveting the little bit of earthly treasure he saw and missing out on the more. Now, I'm not going to read the whole story. It's a whole chapter. It's Joshua 7. You can check it out later. But essentially, Joshua 1, this is what sets the scene. So it says, but the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of them. So the Lord's anger burned against Israel. And a little bit of the backstory, the Israelites were crossing over. Joshua was leading them into the promised land. And as they're going into the promised land, they hit this fortified fortress of a city called Jericho. And it's like, no way they're going to be able to take this out. God gives them a very unique strategy for how to just walk around each day once, and then on the seventh day, seven times, praise, worship, and all the walls came tumbling down. Now, the first city that they reached in the promised land, God has specifically given orders to Joshua and the Israelites. All the like plunder, the gold, the materials, anything of worth was going to go right to the house of God, so to speak. That was going to be all his. Nobody was going to take anything of earthly value. But we'll see that there was one person that did, and his name was Achan. He decided to settle for the less or the little, and wasn't faithful, actually, with what was told. So it says in verse 20 of Joshua 7, it says, Achan replied, as they're looking for the person that stole something, because God's anger was against not just Achan and his family, but against all the Israelites. Achan replied, it is true, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground, or you could even say the earth, inside my tent with the silver underneath. So Achan is an example of someone who literally settled for less than God's best. That instead of embracing the more, he embraced literally earthly treasure. He buried it into the earth. And because of that, God's anger was stirred up against him, his family. There's great consequences that happened to him and his family. And ultimately, also the Israelites, that it wasn't until there was a repentance or a cleansing in this case that God's hand was actually against them. And so I want to just take a moment to pause. We're thinking about the little, of being trusted with little. What's the little that God has entrusted you with? Sometimes we always want to look at the more, like the bigger thing. But to be able to be entrusted with more, whatever that might be that God has, we got to be faithful with the little thing. I remember one of the former pastors at New Hope Community Church. He was also a former president of Elam Bible Institute in college. But Mike Webster said, if you just focus on the little bit that God's given you, and he's taking this more as a principle broader than just financial, but looking at that little, it's like focusing on in that moment where you are, which seems like it's not important and nobody's looking, and God's called you to do something, but you're like, it's not flashy. It's like looking at like a step on an escalator. I'm sure most of us, or probably all of us, have been on escalators before that are going up. Back in the day when we used to go to malls and other places, you get the escalators and or other buildings, but you just focus on that step. And as you're just focusing and not caring about the more that other people have, or coveting what other people have, or just being faithful where you're called, as that escalator is just going up, it's as if God will just bring you to the next place that he wants to entrust you with, as you are satisfied deeply in him and being faithful with the little that God has given to you. So Achan, he was actually called not to be faithful with any of the resources, supposed to all go to God, but instead he coveted it and he settled for less than God's best, and he missed out on the more. So step number one and three steps of embracing the more God has for you. Let's be faithful with the little God has for each one of us. And that can look different for all of us. But it's good to know, God, what are you calling to me in this season? It might not look flashy, and oftentimes it's not. But God doesn't waste any season. He's not wasting this season in your life or my life. And we want to make sure that we are not missing out on being faithful and good steward of what God has given to us. The second step I want to look at is love God more than anything else. Jesus made this clear in Luke, in the passage of Luke we're reading, that you're either going to love God or you're going to hate God. You're either going to love money or you're going to hate money. And it's pretty strong. Jesus could have compared a lot of different things to loving God, but he chose money. And money is such a powerful kind of like draw, almost like a gravitational force of its own, that if we're not careful, we can end up living our whole lives just like that little story or joke I gave in the beginning of someone living their whole lives just for money, and realizing how little of importance that was in the big picture of things. Jesus said this in Luke 18:18-25. He had a conversation with a young man who had a lot of money, and unfortunately, that money got in the way. So far, Achan has been an example of someone who did not embrace the more. We have looked in the past couple of weeks of the two midwives, or Joshua or Esther, embracing the more. These are unfortunately two examples. Achan, the first one, and then this rich young ruler, of two people who did not embrace the more, and there's great consequences. So Luke 18, verse 18, says, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, and then asking Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And then this ruler said, all these things I kept since I was a boy. He said, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. So this guy's doing really good so far in responding with Jesus. Jesus says, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Wow, what a strong invitation. This guy's been living a life that's been really good, and Jesus asking him in a specific example to just sell everything he has and gives it to the poor, and then just follow me. He actually offered to other people, follow me, fishermen, leave their occupation, tax collectors, other people. But here is this invitation to this rich young ruler, and let's see what he does. In verse 23, he says, when he heard this, he became very sad because he was very wealthy. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. That's Luke 18, 18 to 25. Now, he's not saying that it's impossible for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God, but sometimes, and maybe a lot of times, sometimes earthly treasure, wealth of any kind, sometimes can blur our vision that we focus more on that than looking at Jesus and what he is calling us to. So step number one is be faithful with the little God has for you. Step two is love God more than anything else. Let it be money or anything else or wealth. God, I want to treasure you above all. And step three is focus on building treasure in the right location. God actually encourages us to build treasure, which is kind of neat because you might think like, man, I want to build something. I want to invest in something. And God, are you just telling me like to do nothing with my life as far as building treasure? And Jesus doesn't actually say, he says, build treasure, but the right location is key. The right location. Jesus said in Matthew 6, 19 to 21, do not store up for yourself treasure on earth where the moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasure in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wow. Powerful words from Jesus. Don't build up your treasure on earth. Eventually it's going to rust. Eventually it's going to wear down. It's going to break down. None of us live forever. We're all finite humans who can get sick and can get illness. And we don't live forever. And so what a great reminder from Jesus that don't put all your energy into storing up treasure on earth, but store it up in heaven. We are called to build treasure, but let's not get confused with storing treasure on earth as God's inviting us to store treasure in heaven. And really embrace the more that God has for us in this season is, God, where we have this kind of perspective, I want to build up treasure in heaven. And what might that look like? Well, Jesus gave an example that was so simple. When another lawyer came to him and asked him what was the most important commandments in the Old Testament, he said, to love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Loving God and loving others is investing into the kingdom of God, is bringing that kind of kingdom to God here and now, both now and yet. One of the passages we just read earlier, building treasure in heaven, was literally helping out with the poor. There's temporal needs on this planet. None of us will last forever, but there's a lot of important temporal needs that Jesus cares about. He cares about the sick. He cares about the poor. He cares about those who are pushed away or places of injustice. God cares about that. And those are all temporal things because none of this will last forever. But Jesus came to seek and save the lost, that those who were outside of knowing Christ, outside of essentially the family of God, could have new life forever with Christ, with him in heaven. This life is so short, whether we make it to 70, 80, 90, maybe 100 years, and sometimes it's a whole lot less, we don't know, that this life is really short compared to all eternity. And a question I guess I want us to consider is, where are you building your treasure today? Is it more based on what's on this earth? Or are you trying to intentionally build treasure that will last forever in heaven? And that ultimately is loving God, loving others, bringing souls just like Jesus did to know the love of the Father. Christ is the one who's made a way to heaven when there's no other way. We'll ultimately live forever. It all depends if it's going to be with Christ are apart from Christ. And God's heart is that all would come and repent and be saved and know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. If you have yet to give your life to Jesus, I just want to encourage you today. You can make that decision as you're in your living room, as you're watching, maybe you're on a walk or this recording, listening on the Zoom. You can give your life to Christ right in this moment, asking God, would you be the Lord and Savior of my life? Lord, forgive me of my sins for all the things I've done wrong. And God, would you direct me in the way you want me to live? It's with the heart decision that we make that, but with the mouth that we can confess that Jesus Christ, you are Lord. And God, for those of us, myself included, who know you, but we have settled for less. We know that true treasure is in heaven, but yet our life is oftentimes focused on earthly treasures. God, forgive us. Forgive us when we forsake our first love, Christ, for anything less. I was reading in a psalm this morning about that the psalmist was talking that God has given him greater joy than when others wine and grain abound. Essentially, the joy that was in Christ, in God, was so great that when other people were excelling with lots of wine or grain in that culture, would have shown like a sign of wealth. He's like, I still got more joy. I imagine if Achan in Joshua 7, if he had experienced the joy of the Lord instead of settling for earthly treasures, his story would have been different, right? Or that rich young ruler, he's having a conversation with Jesus in person, but he just got hung up on earthly treasures and couldn't see the heavenly treasure that Jesus was presenting for him now. What he thought was going to be the greatest loss in his life was actually the doorway to the greatest treasure he would ever have. Let us not settle for anything less than what God has called us to do. About a year ago, or maybe like 10 months ago, I got a phone call. Actually, our secretary, Jody, who's a fantastic secretary, got a phone call. And there was a community member who was passing away. Neither Jody and I knew this person, but is right towards the end of life. Jody passed on the phone call. I talked. I'm like, I don't know anyone there, but yeah, I can come and pray and read some scripture. And so I went over to this community member's house. And once again, I didn't know anybody, even the person that was about to pass away. And it was really interesting. Something I noticed when I was there, as this person is really right towards the end of life. As I was there, I noticed a bunch of things that weren't in the room or even around the property. What wasn't around this man's bedside as he was slowly drifting from this life into the next one, there wasn't like a suitcase of cash piled up right next to him. Like his life savings and his retirement plan and 401ks and his bonds and stocks were all not cashed right next to him, right? That wasn't there. He didn't have his nicest vehicle, car, or truck parked out the window just to kind of look at as he was slowly about to pass away. He didn't have certificates of achievement or diplomas or promotions anywhere in the room that I could tell. But you know what was in the room? Closest family, closest friends, God's word, prayer, and the presence of God. I thought it was very interesting. I thought it was a good thing for me to take in, and hopefully you take in today, that at the end of life, you oftentimes can have a better perspective of what was the most important things in life. But yet, oftentimes, we don't give our time and energy, myself included, towards focusing on the things that really matter, right? Spending time with God and in his presence, prayer and the word. That's all I need. God, you're all I need. Loving and caring for those who know you best, whether that's a friend, a spouse, your parents, your kids, those closest to you. God, may I treasure people around me more than earthly treasures. When Jesus came and died for us on the cross, he didn't come to die for our 401ks or saving plans. He came to die for you and for me. God's treasure is you. It's me. It's us. It's people. And that's a message that we need to know and take into our heart, that Jesus loves you so much. Jesus loves me so much. Jesus loves us. Jesus loves other people around us. Jesus loves your family members, your friends. Jesus loves the people you don't get along with. Jesus loves the people that you would even deem as your enemies. There are so many things in our world today that are just dividing us and pulling us apart. Things that are new, things that are old. And God is a God that wants to bring unity in Christ. In our country right now, we still have this. It's been going on for years, decades, over hundreds of years. But the tension you'll see against white and blacks, against African Americans or Caucasians, right? You see the racial tension. You'll see it on the news. Jesus died for every single person. White, black, it doesn't matter your color. He died for people, image bearers in God's image. Jesus came to die for the rich and the poor. And the thing is, he doesn't look at our financial status. He looks at a person that he created intimately in their mother's womb. He is ultimately the creator. He cares about us. So many times we can divide stuff. This person black, this person white, this person rich, this person's poor. Are you from America? Are you from another country? God died for people. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That is every person in the world. As Christ followers, we are called to reflect that kind of love to the world. We are called to bring justice and truth and love and righteousness in the places that are broken and scarred, that God's wanting to take something broken and make it beautiful. There's even tension now with just, if you talk with anyone about COVID-19 stuff, right? Is this thing the worst thing in the world? Is this thing just a joke? Things should be open, things should never be open. Let us be filled with love and grace for one another as we have conversations where there's a lot of different opinions on. God, may we have your perspective and your love and your grace. Ultimately, we need to know that God loves you, God loves me, God loves us, God loves those all around us. Will we approach others with the overflowing love of Jesus? And instead of treasuring earthly treasures, maybe treasure heavenly treasures, the people that God came to die for, to be raised from the dead, to offer them new life and adopt them into his family. In the book of Revelations, it talks about that every tribe, nation, and tongue, God's inviting to be worshiping him forever. I mean, what an awesome invitation. I can't wait just to be praising my Father with you, if you know Christ, and others all around the globe, that we could just glorify God together. So a couple of application questions as I'm wrapping up. The first one is, what is or was the little God has given you? I talked about being faithful with the little. What might that be? Maybe it's financial. That'd be direct application of the scripture. Or maybe it's something else that God has trusted you with a little. Doesn't seem flashy. Doesn't really seem that exciting. You're wondering what you should do with it if nobody's looking. Be faithful with the little God's given to you. Are you faithful with what God has entrusted you with? Excuse me. The second question, who or what do you love most in this world? And you oftentimes can find that out by what your heart and your mind go to when you're just thinking and doing life. It's easy to say, I love Jesus first, but it's also easy then to live our whole life for someone else, for something else, for ourselves. Who do you love or what do you love most in this world? If it's not Jesus, I encourage you to repent and put Christ first in your heart. Number three is, do you tend to focus more on building earthly treasures or heavenly treasures? Are we building things that are temporary, that ultimately will be moths and vermin will destroy, thieves will break in and steal? Are we building heavenly treasures that will last for eternity? I mean, talk about an investment plan. That's out of this world. Question number four is, what is one thing you can do this week to start building more treasures in heaven than on earth? And who can you ask to pray for you in this area? It's great to invite some invitations. Talk with someone, maybe in your house, apartment, or maybe you want to call someone this week. Who can you pray? Who can you ask to pray for you in this area? And then also, who can you pray for this week? They're encouraged. I guess it's so easy to focus on our momentary difficulties and challenges that we prioritize earthly treasure over heavenly treasure. At this time, I actually want us to have a moment to reflect. And there's a song I actually just like us to listen to. It's one that Jane Ault put together for our Friday talent show, which was really fun to have a bunch of people in there. But it's a really, I think, timely, maybe even a prophetic song, and at least in my heart, that we need to know this message. And so she's going to give a little backstory to Jesus Loves Me, but then she kind of redid it with a Jesus Loves You and Me. I'm like, what a message do we need to know in this time, that Jesus loves you, Jesus loves me. Let's embrace that together, receive that, but also then let's share that with others this week. So I'm going to take a moment to pray, and then we'll have a time of reflection with this song by Jane Ault. Heavenly Father, God, thank you that your word makes things a lot more simpler than sometimes we can make it. God, I know I can get so focused on earthly treasure sometimes, I miss out on the heavenly treasure and kingdom building that will last forever. Forgive me when I do that. God, I'm sure those who are watching and listening now, they can be like, yeah, there's some areas in my life that, I'm just building my kingdom and not your kingdom. I'm focusing on earthly treasure more than heavenly treasure. Forgive us, Lord. God, forgive us when we value things more than people. God, forgive us when we don't love people the way that you love them. Lord, we are so in desperate need of your Holy Spirit. to overflow with the abiding joy and love that comes from being in your presence. And God, as we listen to this song, Lord, would you minister to us? Before we ever start talking about loving other people, let us receive that love today afresh. Then let's go out and love our family, our friends, coworkers, those we encounter with the love of Jesus, that more might see Christ and come to know you as our personal Lord and Savior. God, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I write poems and I write songs, and a lot of my poems are really songs. So anyway, the first one is an old song that I learned when I was a child. It's Jesus Loves Me. And so some older people might remember this if you learned it when you were a child. It's a simple song. It goes like this. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Well, I learned that probably when I was 4 or 5 years old. And I still sing it to my sister, who is the same age as I am, only she doesn't remember many songs. She remembers that one, though. But I was thinking about it, and I thought, I would like a song, something like that, about Jesus loves me. But it has to be a updated tune. That's an old tune. So I asked God to give me an updated tune, and he did. So that's the other song I want to share. And here it goes. Jesus loves you and me. Jesus loves you and me. Jesus loves you and me. 'Cause he died upon the tree to set us free from sin and guilt, fear and shame, deep resentment. Jesus loves you and me. Jesus loves you and me. Jesus loves you and me. For he rose up from the grave to bring us gifts of joy and peace, love and hope, sweet contentment. Jesus loves you and me. Jesus loves you and me. Jesus loves you and not me. Now he lives in us today so we can bless our family, friends, everyone, all our neighbors. Jesus loves you and me. Jesus loves you and me. Jesus loves you and me. And he's coming back someday to take us home where we can see, we can touch his majesty. Jesus loves you and me. Jesus loves you and me. Jesus loves you and me.